It's Marketplace Tech for May 5th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week is Upfronts Week, where television companies introduce their new programming to advertisers. There are also new fronts, where companies that make video for the internet try to get the same ad money. Streaming company Hulu might be in the new upfront game, rumored earlier this week and finally announced as the company's new slim bundle, basically a mix of streaming, live TV, and DVRable content that could be the future of television. The story was first reported by the Wall Street Journal, and their reporter, Shalini Ramachandran, joins me. She started by explaining the problem Hulu is trying to solve.
There is still a significant gap that sometimes happens. I know this for the show Jane the Virgin, which I like to watch, but you can watch it live. You can watch the old seasons on Netflix, but you can't watch the first part of the current season anywhere. So there are a lot of these black holes of content that come about just because of the way these Hollywood business relationships happen. And I think what Hulu would like to do is to sort of be a place where you can get everything. Now, that is a tough road for them to go on. And, I think...
Well, why is it a tough road?
A lot of companies, including Apple and Google and Amazon, they've tried to enter the space of live channels, on-demand stuff. But unfortunately, the way that these Hollywood business relationships have come about and the way the cable TV ecosystem is, they call it windowing, where it's like you see a show live and you only see it on a different channel in syndication, maybe years later, because they want to keep making a lot of money off of the same piece of content. So Hulu, I think, is trying to be the complete experience, but it will be helped in many ways by the fact that it's owned by the three TV giants, Disney, Fox, and Comcast. Hulu is in conversations to license channels from all three of its owners. So you can imagine those conversations will probably go better than, say, if a new entrant like Apple or Amazon were trying to do it.
Shalini Ramachandran is a Wall Street Journal reporter covering this Hulu story. Shalini, thank you very much.
Thank you.
My thoroughly unscientific and totally anecdotal poll of Apple Music users gives me the sense that the service could be better and easier to use. The rumor mill ahead of the company's developers conference next month is spinning, and several reports suggest that Apple's music streaming service will get a major overhaul. We will see in a matter of weeks. Hi, Ben Johnson here. Thanks for listening to Marketplace Tech. We give you context on business and technology in your life. Some context on us. We are a nonprofit service and we rely on donations, call it old school crowdfunding. Your gift in any amount will automatically be doubled this month thanks to the generosity of Newman's Own Foundation. We've also made some awesome Let's Do the Numbers Pilsner glasses as a thank you to donators. You can donate today at marketplace.org. Call it a bubble, say winter is coming, whatever your vocabulary, there is a lot of uncertainty in the tech world right now. But one company that seems to be doing well is photo sharing website and mobile app Pinterest. They call themselves the world's catalog of ideas, where you can grab pictures from around the web and pin them to a virtual pin board. The company's global audience is growing. It recently introduced easier ways to buy products advertised on its platform. I went to their new offices in New York this week to visit with Chief Executive Officer Ben Silberman and Chief Creative Officer Evan Sharp. I started by asking Evan what his favorite community of pinners was.
Whew, that's not fair. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a whole cult of people who mod out motorcycles in ways that are totally spectacular and unexpected. And I found when I stumbled across that kind of part of Pinterest, it really blew my mind because it runs counter to all the stereotypes I've heard in the United States about Pinterest just being for, crafts or for women.
Ben, can you give me a breakdown on the demographics of users?
Well, we don't do a lot of specific numbers. We announced recently that we'd crossed 100 million users around the world, that more than half of those users are outside the U.S. And I'll say that the portion of men using the service is increasing all the time. And our job with anyone who signs up is to make sure that when they open Pinterest, they find ideas that they can use in their everyday life.
You guys
I know, have a lot of advertisers kind of coming back and re-upping, and you've kind of focused your efforts on how you're delivering advertising on the platform, right?
Yeah, you know, we're still early, but I think compared to a lot of other services, there's a real alignment between what regular users are there to do, which is to discover ideas, mm-hmm. and what businesses have in mind, which is to have their products and services discovered. And that the fact that those two things are aligned, I think, makes the experience a lot less jarring than other services, where maybe the point is to be doing something fun or interacting with your friends, and that's kind of at odds with the goal of an advertiser, which is to grab your attention away from that and sell you something.
You know, the difference for me between a social network and Pinterest is that Pinterest is really useful. And I think a lot of what we want to do with both the product we're building and the brand is help people, you know, make better decisions in their everyday lives by giving them access to new ideas and new possibilities. And so I think the vision is really clear, and the next few years are about executing that in a really effective, really meaningful way around the world.
Mm. Are you guys profitable?
Well, we don't disclose any specific revenue figures, but revenue has been growing really nicely, and it's certainly a goal, obviously, for the company to be able to afford invest in its own future.
So about a year ago, you guys were valued at $11 billion. Now private funding is kind of contracting, and at the same time, some of the IPO activity over the past, I don't know, however long now, has been kind of slow, and some companies have come in under their goals. How and when do you make that decision whether or not to go public?
It's a business decision based on how predictable your business is, mm-hmm. and how important it is to have external capital to fund your future initiatives. I think that's something that, like, we've watched a lot of other great companies do.
Mm-hmm. But how do you be?
It's not sort of like an end in and of itself, right?
Right.
It's not like the objective is not to go public. The objective is to be able to continue investing and building the catalog of ideas and helping people kind of discover things for their regular life.
Ben Silberman is CEO and Evan Sharp is CCO. Gentlemen, thank you for talking with me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming.
A longer version of my conversation with Pinterest's co-founders at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.